You are listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
It's the Diamond District Bonus Hour. Where else but Miller and Moulton, millerandmoulton.com, Miller_Moulton on Twix, Twitter/X. I feel as if we're kind of catching our breath this morning. That the last 3 days with NFL free agency, Mark, was whoo. And the power conference tournaments really get underway today. I know we had some early round action in the Big East and ACC, you know, but today is what, like, Wake and Pitt are playing each other. I don't know if it's a play-in game, but the loser's definitely out, and the winner is, like, now right on the bubble. Probably needs to also win Friday. You know, Michigan State, Minnesota.
Sparty has to win today.
I was going to say, it's not a play-in game, but it's a play-out game, isn't it?
It could be. I mean, best-case scenario for Sparty is if they win this game, they're in the play-in. Worst-case scenario is if they lose this game, they're out.
So, you know, that type of stuff's going on now in the conference tournaments. I've always argued Thursday, Friday is the meat of the Power Six conference tournaments more than Saturday, Sunday, because a lot of times the bid stealers don't make it to the weekend.
And Lord knows Sunday literally doesn't matter unless there is a bid stealer.
Well, in a lot of the tournaments now that they know that the committee by midnight Saturday basically has the field done, a lot of them aren't even playing Sunday anymore, right?
I think there's two games.
On Sunday?
Yeah
it's just the
Big Ten final, and there's one before that.
Is it the SEC?
SEC, I think.
Okay. SEC is at like noon, I think. And Big Ten leads right into the selection show on CBS.
You know, like BC, Virginia, it's the late game tonight in the ACC. I think Virginia has to win.
Absolutely.
Because they are right on the bubble.
For everybody. Anybody you go to has them in a play-in game. They lose that game, they're done.
You know, NC State's taking on Duke tonight. If you think NC State's got a snowball's chance, gotta beat Duke. And they're an 11.5-point dog.
God, I love NC State for one reason and one reason only. They're big man. He's round.
The big fella.
He's got to be 300. That's a large human, and he likes the ball. Love everything about that guy. I watched, if NC State's on, I stop what I'm doing and watch the big man play.
Wake and Pitt at 2:30 today following the Florida State-North Carolina game. And to me, the significance of that, if you happen to be near a TV and what have you, this could be it for Leonard Hamilton. Long-time career, did good things at Miami, left Miami to go to the NBA. That failed miserably. Then Florida State has done really good things there. Never made a Final Four.
And he is 75 years old.
Right. Doesn't look it.
No, he looks great.
But the thought coming into this year was Coach Ham had to make the tournament to keep his gig. There's apparently a guy who's in the Sacramento Kings organization that is a Florida State alum that the whispers are that there's kind of a deal in place whenever the time comes. But he has to decide that he's apparently on the fast track to be an NBA head coach. And usually, you know, you go to Florida State, you're probably not going to be an NBA head coach ever. So he's got to make that decision. But so that's just it. If it's like 1:45 today and you're, you know, ESPN's on, hey, you may just want to watch. This could be the last handshake for Coach Ham.
Is that Man, a career? In that pandemic year, they were so good.
They were awesome.
They were going to go to the Final Four.
Patrick Williams was a top five pick. Leading the charge. They were so good.
They were long. They were athletic. They could score.
They were better than Houston is now. They were everything that Houston is now, only more talented.
With more offense.
26-5 was their record that year. I just looked it up.
Yeah.
I mean, in a year like this year, where it's kind of wide open, Florida State would have as good a chance as anybody if they were 26-5.
They were going to be a 2 seed.
That team might have been a 1 seed this year.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying.
They might have been the 4th 1 seed.
They would have been one of the
favorites. Because, I mean, you look at UNC's got a good shot at that from the ACC right now, and they were on top of that conference. So that team in this year's...
They were better than Tennessee is this year. They were better than Arizona is this year.
Agreed.
Okay, 6:30 tonight. By the way, the Big Ten tournament's only on the Big Ten Network tonight.
At least it's not on Peacock.
True. But I'm just saying, you know, they've not on FS1. The Big East gets FS1.
As
the Big
should.
10 gets Big Ten Network. Just saying. I got to admit, I'm rooting for Ohio State tonight. I really want them to go. I want this interim coach to just make life so miserable for the powers that be at Ohio State. He's 5-1. They got Iowa tonight. It's a virtual toss-up.
Right. They're favored by 1.5.
Right.
I think they should be, too. I think that's about right. But let me ask you guys this, because David kind of slipped this in yesterday. He thinks if Ohio State makes a run to the final and loses, they could maybe still get in?
No.
Mark says no, but
no chance.
I think if Ohio State's playing in the final, that's 3 wins. That's 22 wins. That's 8-1 with him as head coach.
They've got to win the Big Ten. Now, if they get to the final and lose, he can get the job.
I mean, Mark, if they win, I think they play Illinois.
Yeah, they're on Illinois' side of the bracket. That helps them out a lot. They can avoid Purdue until the final.
You know, and then in theory, they're like playing Nebraska. I mean, listen, Fran at Iowa's had many a Big Ten tournament run, too. I mean, I'm telling you right now, circle the Ohio State-Iowa winner. That team could do real damage in the Big Ten bracket.
Well, and you called it. If USC could win their first game, they have a shot. They beat Washington, so we'll see what the
trophy. 80, too,
right.
Which is, you know, they've struggled offensively this year. That's 5-1 in their last 6, USC. They got Arizona, I think, today. That's the money game.
Absolutely. But if you're looking for bid stealers, Ohio State, USC, teams that could... 8.5 Arizona's favored by. That game's at 3 o'clock. That's the first one in the Pac-12 today.
SEC gets underway in earnest today. I know. By the way, Arkansas came from like 17 down at the half to beat Vandy in overtime last night.
Yeah, he gone.
You think?
Musselman?
No, Stackhouse.
Oh, okay. Okay, I was going to say. Tough year for the Razorbacks. I think the Razorbacks were 14th preseason.
I was going to say, the only team more disappointing according to preseason polls than USC has been Arkansas. All those transfers, it just didn't work. What do you have, 7 or 8 transfers on
seven,
this year's team?
7 transfers.
Yeah. Gators with the Dogs, Mike White. Now, Florida's in. They can even lose this game. They're in.
They're a 7 seed.
Yeah, they're a 6-7 seed in the NCAA tournament. So even if by chance, and Georgia nearly beat them in the regular season, even if by chance the Dogs upset them tonight, though, you know, I think the worst they'll do is fall into the 8-9 game.
Which I am so rooting for the Gators because we've been on them for a while now. And if they fall to that 8-9 line, David, and they have to potentially play the 1 seed in the second round, I'm going to like them a lot less to make a run, obviously.
Well, but
like, you if know, they're a 7 seed, David, I think they could beat a 2. If they draw Marquette or they draw Arizona, I think they could totally beat a 2 seed.
I gotcha, and they won't put Florida, if they're an 8-9, they won't put them, let's just say Tennessee either is a 1 or 2. They won't put Florida as a 7 if Tennessee's a 2.
Right.
They won't put them in the 8-9 if Tennessee's a 1. So, you know, figure out the 1s or 2s that they would likely then be paired up against.
The Gators could beat Houston. In one game, the Gators could beat Houston.
I agree.
They can run with them. They can definitely run with them. They're athletic enough.
They've got two really good guards, and they got four bigs who are versatile.
Just a sidebar. Georgia's in this game against Florida today in the SEC tournament because they beat Missouri yesterday, which means that Missouri went 0-18 in conference play and then lost again.
Georgia scored the last 10 points of the game.
That's hard to do, to go 0-19 in conference play.
In fact, they may have scored the last 12 points of the game. Missouri had like a 7-point lead with 3 minutes to go and lost.
And now all of a sudden, Dennis Gates, after Missouri finished fourth in the SEC last year and actually had a pretty good run in the SEC tourney, now his seat's going to be hot going into next year.
Hot?
Yeah.
Hot. The thing should have flames on it, for crying out loud. You lost 19 games in a row.
Well, I just bring that up because I thought they had a lot of promise last season.
They won 25 games, made the tournament, won a game in the tournament. Yeah. And then come back the next year, go 0 for the SEC. Yikes.
So I just thought that that little footnote was worthy of sharing about Missouri basketball. If you think your team's bad,
reality
I bring
check.
You Missouri basketball.
Gators Dogs at 9:30 tonight. It'll probably start a little later than that on the four-letter network.
If you are like us and you love the sport of college basketball and you want to see some of these mid-majors, a UCF, an Indiana State, make the tournament, USF, excuse me, you are rooting for Bid Steelers. Let me just make that very clear. You're rooting for Ohio State. You're rooting for Iowa.
Ooh, no.
You want them to win the Big Ten tournament.
No, you don't. Because then they get bids.
Well, okay.
You're totally wrong.
The reverse.
I mean,
I'm sorry.
You're 100% wrong, Trent.
You're right. But that I guess what my point is that kicks off like a Michigan State.
Minnesota to beat Michigan State today, then lose their next game. That's what you're rooting for.
Okay. That's a better way to put it. Much better.
The Big East, by the way, is very lively. A lot of teams right around the bubble. St. John's, Seton Hall. The Hall is in. Do the Johnnies need to win? If they lose to Seton Hall, are they out? Does Providence have to beat Creighton to get in? I think they do. And then Nova has to beat Marquette tonight. And they had to hit a late three to beat DePaul as a 24-point favorite last night. That's the bubble conference tournament right there, the Big East.
So conference play starting at noon today. Great day of college basketball. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Today was a day winning. What's on tap? That's 25 minutes ahead on Miller and Moulton.
21 minutes past the hour. Thanks so much for being with us. Good, bad, and ugly. What's on tap? Today was the day when some final thoughts, a couple of picks. Ladies and gentlemen, I must divulge. We try to take you behind the curtain as much as possible without going too far. Sometimes we do. Mark Miller has placed good hard-earned money on the Players' Championship. I repeat, Mark Miller, and half of that money is mine, he has placed on the Players' Championship.
Well, you're right. I used part of our money earlier to make two NBA bets that you wanted.
Right. Yeah. Well, and if that's the case, then we lost because I've been terrible on NBA.
No. This was a while back. You said, we're going to bet this game. I got a feeling about this one. And they lost by 20. And I got a feeling about this one and they lost by 15 or whatever it was.
So kind of like Trent's Rutgers feeling last night in a virtual pick'em against Maryland. How'd that go?
It didn't work out well for him. And so Trent had been on a heater too. You actually were on a bit of a roll.
Yeah.
But I don't know why I decided out of nowhere that I was going to bet the Players yesterday.
You were feeling it. It's probably because we had J.P. Shadrick on talking to Players.
Think that's what it was. And I had five Players, all win bets. I did take the favorite, basically hedging my bet. If Scheffler goes out and does what he's supposed to do, I make my money back plus a couple of dollars.
Right. Okay.
But then I went for some odds.
Who are we riding here?
We've got Hideki.
Okay.
He's like 30-1.
Okay.
Zalatoris, same odds.
You like Zalatoris.
That's my guy.
Yeah.
Probably probably my favorite guy in the PGA Tour.
He's got two top tens this year coming back from the back injury. Good for him.
And if Zalatoris isn't my favorite guy in the PGA Tour, Victor Hovland's is a close second. Because I really like both of them.
And you got really good value on Hovland.
He has not played well this year.
No, he hasn't.
Which is probably...
Gala, who had a great Sunday at the Arnold Palmer and drives the ball really well.
And won earlier this year, didn't he?
Did the Gala win this year?
Losing a playoff? He's had a couple of other top finishes.
Now, the only problem is they're already off at the Players, and Rory's off to a good start.
Not Matt Kuchar's start. Did you see Kuch teed off the back? Par 4, par 5, par 4, started 3-3-3.
Yeah, and McIlroy's a hole behind him, and they're tied. McIlroy's birdie his first. McIlroy went birdie, birdie, birdie to start.
There we go.
So he went 3-4-3, and Kuchar made a bogey on his 13th hole. So after the 3-3-3 start, he brought one back. So they're both 3-under. Cantlay's 3-under and early going at the Players right now. Schauffele 2-under. Another guy that people had high hopes for in this tournament as well, because his game's been pretty solid lately.
Well, I'm rooting for him also because he trashed the commissioner leading up to the tournament. He's like, I heard him the other day, and he was saying that he's, you know, got the vote of confidence from the members. Doesn't have it from me.
I used to trust him, but not so much anymore.
Not anymore. Doesn't have my trust. He's got some work to do there. Hey, we talk about this issue a lot. I just want to, we have a poll question. And polling is big in America, Mark. I don't know if you're aware of that. And according to the Associated Press, they combined with another agency, and majority of U.S. adults are against college athletes joining unions. Okay.
I would want a second question to that poll.
Well, I think want a third, but go ahead.
But mine would be very simply, are you in favor of unions? Because as a country, I don't think we're in favor of unions anymore. There was a time that unions were a very big part of our nation.
Correct.
The UAW was a huge union in this country. Obviously, the Teamsters Union was always very big, but the numbers aren't what they once were.
I think it's single digits in terms of percentage of U.S. workers that are in a union. I don't think it's double digits. So, yes, that's a great follow-up question. Can I nominate one more?
Sure.
So the original question is, majority of U.S. adults are against college athletes joining unions, okay? My follow-up question is, how many U.S. adults actually care? Like, I think there's more interest in our poll question today, which apparently there's very little interest in, than there is in America as a whole and the future of the college athlete.
For the record, Kirk Cousins has taken the lead in honor of National Potato Chip Day. Which current NFL starting QB would be the Pringles of the NFL? Kirk Cousins getting nearly 35% of the vote. Dak Prescott with 29%. Brock Purdy 22%. And Tua is bringing up the rear.
That is unbelievable. That is unbelievable to me.
Well, I mean, Kirk Cousins, like Pringles, is a top 12 quarterback. Top 12 chip.
Well, hold on. But you've got to do it comparatively. How many brands of potato chips are there? Okay, because we got 30, you know, once again, if you let's just say you think Kirk Cousins is the 12th best quarterback in the league. Well, it's 12 out of 32. So that's almost in the top third.
Mm-hmm.
If you know what I mean.
And Pringles are a top third chip.
Really? Not in terms of sales, in terms of taste. Honestly. If we lined up, you know, 12 brands and flavors, you really think that one of the first four bags, cans grabbed would be a Pringles?
I'll tell you what, David, it's too bad you're not here because I like watching March Madness with you. And, you know, next Thursday you may have to drive down. After the show, we'll go to a Publix. We'll just take on the chip rack with some of the hard-earned money that we've made from this show. Okay. And I'll get 12, and we'll have a blind taste test of potato chips.
Tell you what, how about we even creepier? How about we just stand near the potato chip aisle and we just chart it?
Start opening bags?
And then, no, and then we start asking questions. You bought Pringles, why? Okay. And we follow them from aisle four. And next thing you know, we're in aisle six.
This is really a problem, David, because now I'm going to go. I don't ever go down the chip aisle at Publix. I don't buy chips that often. I'm going to go down the chip aisle every time I'm at the grocery store. And I'm probably going to, you know what? Let's go on Twitter and see what's going on. I'm just going to stand there in front of the chips until someone grabs something.
Just, that's all. I'd start asking the people to buy Pringles. Do you like Pringles or is it just, you know, convenient?
This is the next level of Miller and Moulton R&D. I mean, this is a, you guys have reached totally. A new, this is awesome. We're talking blind taste
if
tests.
If you're a Publix manager and you listen to this show, please. We need you to text the show now at 21,000 and tell us your store address so that we can plop down with a chair and a pen and do some R&D.
And listen, to those that keep saying it's not a potato chip, it's a potato crisp. It's in the potato chip aisle. There is no National Potato Crisp Day. It's a it counts as a potato chip. It makes the category.
Well, David, it's 60% flour, so I don't really know.
Boy.
It's 60% crap. Okay?
But I can't wait it. Until a Tuesday morning when David's on the road in Seattle, getting up yep. at 3 a.m., getting up at 2:30 in the morning to do this show.
Eating Pringles.
And I'm going to say, how are they? And he's going to go, they're delicious.
I'm going to go, they're amazing, and they're $9.
For
and
the
I'm
little
gonna
size,
have two
too.
Cans. Yep. Going to have an $18 Pringles breakfast. It's amazing. Yep. So anyway, so for the record, America is against the athletes unionizing. Of course, they're against unions, and they really don't care about the athletes, but it's official. And Kirk Cousins is a Pringle. Now, is he plain?
Yes.
Is he
sour
cream and onion?
He's plain.
Not even sour cream and onion?
I don't think so, David.
Wow.
Welcome to the Bonus Hour, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
22 minutes till the top of the hour, 16 until we're out of here, the Diamond District Bonus Hour of Miller and Moulton. Tomorrow, Donnie Jones, head coach of Stetson, he and they won the A-Sun, first time ever going to the NCAA tournament. That's cool. He'll join us at 7 o'clock tomorrow. Pat Kerwin for two segments at 8 o'clock tomorrow. You know, that NFL thing, still popular.
It's time for someone to take back this segment, if for no other reason than to stop David from talking about Meghan and Harry. Here's Mark Miller with Today Was the Day When.
I'll tell you, there's not enough on this sheet to extend this segment very long, but after that discussion on pies, because it's 3:14 today, I'm hungry. Eli Whitney patents the cotton gin today in 1794. Kind of big. 1962, Gordie Howe becomes the second to 500 goals. 1972, the NBA's Cincinnati Royals moved to Kansas City, where they would fail there as well.
I was going to say where they'd become the Kings, right?
Yeah. Were they Kings or were they the Monarchs?
I don't know.
91, Dave Matthews Band had their first live performance. And in 2017, the world's oldest golf club, Murfield, allows women as members for the first time in 273 years. If you were born today, you are not the smartest person ever born on this day. Because you share your birthday with Einstein. Also, Wes Unseld and Kirby Puckett born today. Michael Caine and Quincy Jones are both 91 today. Golfer Bob Charles is 88. Billy Crystal, 76. Larry Johnson, Grandmama, is 55 today. Ron Dane's 46. Steph Curry is 36. And Simone Biles is 27 years old today.
How many more years for Steph, you think? you know, we're asking about LeBron, who turned 39 this year. I think the answer for LeBron is 2. A lot of people think it'll just be next year. How many more for Steph? It's an undersized point guard, arguably the best shooter ever.
2? This one and two more?
If he wanted to transition to kind of like a wing shooter and just come off the bench and be Vince Carter, he could play another 5 if he wants to.
I understand. But, you know, when you're a legend, when you're an all-timer, do you want to be far less than that?
And it's not like he needs to stick around to win a ring somewhere. I mean, usually in the cases that you're talking about, Trent, yeah, and you're not wrong, but that guy that wants to go to the bench might be chasing a ring that he's never been able to achieve.
It's a very good point.
And Mark, you may be onto something, because I believe Kerr re-signed an extension for 2 years, and I think it matches up with Curry's contract. You know, Curry gave an interview recently in which he kind of talked for the first time about life after basketball and what he's thinking. And, you know, he's already a successful business guy, and he didn't rule out politics, which will cut his popularity at least in half,
if not more.
So, you know.
Politics?
Well.
Got all that money.
I know.
To travel the world. Play golf. I mean, the guy's a great golfer, loves to tee it up.
Says he wants to make a difference.
If Steph ran for vice president, I would vote for him. Aaron Rodgers, not so much.
Well, both are old enough to be president, so they can be on the ticket.
You've heard folks elsewhere mock Florida is gonna Florida. Well, Mark Miller sees it differently. He calls it the good, the bad, and the ugly. What you got, Mark?
We go to Georgia for the good, where Liz Gillespie lost her cat, Kevin, 7 years ago.
Kevin?
Named after Kevin Durant, according to the article.
Wow.
A Lynx Point Siamese mix. She figured, because she lives up to, butts up against 30 acres of woods. She said, I just kind of assumed that maybe a coyote got him. But she got a call from the Walker County Animal Shelter reporting that Kevin had been found 7 years later.
And did Kevin tell her, no, listen, I was just out injured. No?
For the bad, we go to Sunny Isles Beach.
You're snarky?
Not at all. I got nothing after that. I just moved to the next story, David. Who knew the cat was on load management?
Exactly. And, you know, listen, I was healthy the whole time. I just switched teams.
So for the bad, we go to Sunny Isles Beach, Florida, where Cecilia Selena Mercado, a Latin singer known as Ceci, was jailed on Tuesday driving an Audi with counterfeit license plates that said she was a diplomat and an ambassador at large. She left jail Wednesday being picked up in the same car that she was pulled over in and was immediately arrested again.
Well, wait a minute. She's a passenger, though. Come on now. That's unfair.
Yeah. The diplomat plates got her in trouble, and she was behind the wheel the first time, and when she left in the same car after, she was arrested a second time.
Well, she's got to get home. She's got to be driven to the car dealer to get a new car, right? No?
Her boyfriend was arguing that she was not a United States citizen. She, of course, was born in the Bronx.
Man, I know New York City's going through some image problems lately, but come on now.
Finally, the ugly. We go back to Australia, where it's happened again. The snake catcher was called to a family home after a highly venomous snake was spotted in a 7-year-old girl's bedroom. Fortunately, the snake did not bite the 7-year-old, and the snake snatcher able to rectify the situation as the snake was in a girl's dresser.
In a sir.
I'm ruling out Australia as a place I want to live now. And I've always wanted to go to Australia. I still would like to go to Australia. But every day we got a new highly venomous snake in someone's bedroom.
Right.
I would lose my mind.
I'd be screaming, running through the house, out onto the front yard.
Grab the Tupperware.
And that is the good, the bad, and the ugly on today, March the 14th, 2024.
I killed a small snake with a piece of Tupperware. That's the reference that Trent is alluding to. Okay, I was trying to capture it.
And set it free, but then it bit you, right?
Set it free, okay, but the sucker wouldn't go in, so I said, fine, I'm going to cut your head off.
Priceless. So, that runs pretty much every best of show.
I gave it multiple chances. Speaking of the cat, Kevin, Mark, KD and the Suns are in Boston. It's actually an interesting TNT double dip tonight. Phoenix at Boston and then Dallas at OKC. So that guy goes for the record tonight. Daniel Gafford, he's 33 for his last 33. If he hits his first three shots tonight to make 36 in a row, he will have done something that no one else in the history of the league has ever done. Chamberlain at one point made 35 shots in a row. Daniel Gafford, a fourth-year center out of Arizona. 33 for 33. A lot of pressure on Luka to get him three dunks.
Good night of hockey tonight, David.
Yeah, it is.
Both the Lightning and Panthers are in action. Florida on the road taking down the Carolina Hurricanes. The Lightning at home facing off against the Rangers.
Also Bruins-Canadiens, which is one of the few rivalries, Mark, that I truly believe has stood the test of time. Hasn't matter about realignment, divisions, and what have you. To me, Bruins-Canadiens is a lot like Bears-Packers. You just know if you're on either team that doesn't matter the standings or what have you, that that's the game. That's the money game right there.
Islanders play the Sabres. Buffalo trying to crawl back into the playoff race. They're five back of the aisle tonight.
If your Wings don't win tonight,
they're done.
All right. I know you make fun of me with all these games left. I mean, what are the Wings to play? They have 17 games left. I'm sorry. They don't beat the Coyotes at home in Detroit tonight. They're done.
You're absolutely right, because they are skidding hard and they are soft as baby poo.
Wow.
They are.
They're lost without Dylan Larkin. That's what
it is. But they're soft.
Oh, I know. I'm not making excuses for him. I'm just, to all you yahoos who didn't think Larkin was worthy of the contract and the captainship and all that, look at the Wings now without him.
Leafs and Flyers.
Hold on. Yahoos?
Yahoos.
Well, you know, I had to keep
Is that a distant cousin of Yahoo?
And maybe a little closer to the East, a little closer related to the A-hole.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize it was that family member. I thought it was a different family member. Okay, we're inviting who over for dinner? Oh, okay.
Oh, Uncle Bob's coming again, huh?
I was going to say. And he's a yahoo. Hey, you watch your mouth. What? What? Thought he was the first cousin of Yahoo. No, he's not. He's in a different family. Oh, okay. We went over a lot of the college hoops 30 or so minutes ago, but this is a really good day. Before the NCAA tournament, honestly, if you were to watch one day of college basketball, just flipping through the channels, today is the day. The Big East tournament alone is bubblicious. Iowa has to beat Ohio State, and then if Ohio State wins, how many more wins do they need?
Sparty Gators has to beat Minnesota. Gators play Georgia. Now just playing for seeding.
Right. They're in, but right. So it's just a lot of good action. The small conference tournaments outside of the WAC. All right. I mean, you know, we got the A-10 Mountain West, but you know, probably the smallest conference tournament still going on right now is the WAC.
And the Metro.
Oh, wow, that one's still around?
Yes. So a couple of small conferences, but the big boys playing in the early games of a lot, as David said, a lot of bubblicious teams that are playing today in true must-win situations.
Oh, yeah, the MAC's going on still. Huh. How did I miss that?
Huh. I don't know, David.
There's my small conference fix right there. I love the MAC.
Fire up chips.
Yeah, he's talking about the Metro. Different part of the world. MAC means a different thing.
Sorry. I couldn't help myself.
And, you know, I was really, really sad when Mississippi Valley State got knocked out of their conference tournament. I mean, you know, 1-30 and you can't go on a tournament run. It's really sad.
And then obviously for you golfers, the Players going on right now.
Right. And another day, we'll see if the Yankees can really find out what's wrong with Gerrit Cole's elbow, or will they stall some more, as David Sampson says they're doing, because they don't want to give in to, you know, Scott Boras for one of his two pitchers on the free agent market. Like, they don't know the extent of Gerrit Cole's elbow injury today. They've been examining it for 3 days. It's an elbow.
Now, there were reports out that there's no tear in the UCL. That's the only thing that I've read, that it was, you know, clean, that they're going to rest him. But that means they're going to rest him, so wait for it. They can see if they can avoid surgery.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're right. Their lineup's going to be great, and their starting pitching could be bad. And they traded away a lot of depth this year. And the moves they made for Soto and others, they had a lot of pitching depth in the organization at the major and minor league level, and they traded away a lot of it.
Who's going to win that division?
It's funny because we think the Orioles will not win 101 again. I mean, is Toronto the team we're not talking about? Are they finally going to put it together?
That's where I'm leaning.
I think I'm still leaning Baltimore. The organization's got a ton of depth, too. If things start to go sideways, they can make a deal. Also, new ownership. They can take on payroll. I actually think the Orioles should sign one of the two pitchers. Short-term, big money. Their attendance bump this year is going to be huge. They are going to make a lot more money at the gate with new ownership. They could draw 1 million more fans this year. Miller and Moulton, have a great rest of your Thursday. We'll do this again tomorrow.